So we're blessed in Subud to have a lot of very, very creative people. We're also blessed because this weekend we had a regional board meeting here. So we not only have capital audience, but we also have some Subud members who are visiting and who ordinarily wouldn't be here. Benjamin Boyce is one, in fact. And so let's give him a hand and let's bring him on for his presentation.
That was really wonderful, the polyphony of those two voices. I'm going to read a little excerpt from a book called The Bidden Fruit. It takes place in the first two or three generations after Adam and Eve come to the world, and it's kind of a recasting of all the mythologies that I find most attractive to me. To the north of the center, where the Tigris devolves into several branches, there lived a man named Nimrod, who was ambitious. Over time, he and his holdings grew in power, for Adam had entrusted him with a limited knowledge of fire, and he had thereby found ways to make from the earth both bricks and mortar. With these materials, he built a city where much trade came and went. Nimrod thought, "If people can work together to satisfy one another's needs, perhaps there is a work that will unite them, a greater work that will be as proof of man's dominion over the world." And so he began to build a tower. This tower became renowned, for it displayed to one and all what man was capable of. People would come just to stand atop it, and while they were visiting, they would buy and they would sell, and therefore enriched the city the more. Now, Nimrod had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Sumer. Her skin was the perfect shade of olive, neither too dark nor too light. Her hair was black and lustrous, like the feathers of ravens in a storm. And her eyes were the verdant bloom of the algae of the Tigris. Whoever saw her believed she was from their own clan, for her features spoke of all the quarters of the earth. When it was time that she married, Nimrod grew stern. He would not have any man come to take her, for that man would also take his tower and his city, for by woman was property and lineage vested through the generations. Sumer grew angry with her father, for her heart wished to know the fullness that is love, and too she saw herself as a thing not to be worshipped and adored, but also known through and through, in a way that only a lover might know her. Her father ignored her complaints and locked her up atop his tall tower. And each month her room was raised higher as the tower scraped further into the sky. The people of that city saw that Nimrod was doing to his daughter, and they sought to persuade him towards mildness. "She is the darling of our city," they said to him. "Just as the tower draws guests our way, so Sumer makes them feel welcome. And with her locked up like that, made a prisoner by her own father, won't our guests feel imprisoned? Won't our hearts mourn for the girl and urge them to leave us, taking their wealth elsewhere?" At length, Nimrod was persuaded, but still he refused that just any man may seduce her into a marriage. He wished her suitor to be capable in ways beyond the heart and the honeyed tongue. So it was that he established a test. Whoever wished to marry Sumer would be qualified only if he was able to move Nimrod's tower. Word traveled the world about this challenge, and some men came for tales of Sumer's beauty and others to prove their strength. But none could move the tower, and even those who sought to free Sumer were unable to, for her prison atop the tower was unbreakable. Waztaka heard of this challenge, and he thought to himself, "If there were anything that might make me want a woman, it would be that she was unattainable." So he went to Nimrod's city, and he walked about the tower and then climbed up it. Through the single window Nimrod had allowed his daughter, Waztaka, looked on her. She was sitting at the foot of her bed, and she was singing. It was a lovely melody adorned with fine measured couplets, and he took out the gift Adam, the father, had given him, the hollow reed, and he blew into it, matching her melody with a harmony of his own. Together they lamented, she for her entrapment and he for his broken heart. And when the bejeweled pap of fair dawn's breasts began to splash across the sky, the two were woven tight together as though they had made lie. Waztaka climbed down off the tower then, and he walked about it deliberately now, searching for a way to fulfill Nimrod's requirement. The want in his breast had been enlivened, and his ambition and self-will were stoked to a calm fury, which he let run through his arms and legs, gathering into his feet, his hands, raising his fists above him and bringing them down upon the first step of the tower, which cracked, shifted, and began to quake. He looked upward and saw her prison and realized what he had done. He sprinted up the steps, which crumbled one by one behind him. And then he put his head through her window, and he asked her, "What is more destructive than the pride of man?" "The treachery of woman," she said. "And why is that?" "For without her, he is heartless. She might lift him up to parties or lead him down to Hades." Her prison crumbled, and they were falling from the height of Nimrod's tower had reached. Waztaka wrapped Sumer in his arms and ran with her down the falling bricks, not halting when they reached the ground, but sprinting from the city, having stolen her and won her concomitantly.
Are people getting warm in here? Is it a little too warm?
Warm.
You want to open that? You want to open that back door a little bit?
Yeah.
How do we do that? I love this.